Towards sustainability.
Thomas, I'm an Orvillian since 1983. I'm farming on Annapurna, which is a farm a little bit outside of Orville. We are basically growing rice, millets, we have a small dairy. That's what we do most of all. We don't have special technology. We do organic farming. We are certified organic. We try to save as much as possible water as we can. So we have rainwater catchment areas and we pump this back to the field. So we don't use much groundwater. We grow crops which are pretty drought resistant, disease resistant. These are traditional varieties mostly. So you try to farm in a way which is as friendly and ecological as you can manage. But of course you have to make compromises. We work with tractors, we use quite a lot of diesel, we need power for pumping, we need power for milling the rice. These are all things which you basically, it's not so sustainable in a certain way. But to do better is very costly. We will keep on making experiments and try to improve, but it's not easy. It's a very costly and time-consuming affair. Well, we do experiments on the level of basically on crop yields that I try to work with things like EM, Bokashi, to try to improve yields. And with that, in fact, you become more, sustainable because you get a better yield from the same area, so you don't use as much resources if you would have a low yield. Last year we did a whole experiment with vermicompost, which did not really work out so well because vermicompost seems to be more suitable for horticulture than large-scale agriculture, what we are doing. So every year you try to pick up something and try to do something with it and see what it brings you. But you can say 90% of experiments are going nowhere, you could say. I mean, it gives you experience, it teaches you something, but it's not that you get a result which immediately translate into better yield. Over years we have discovered certain way of working in the field, which means you work with a certain kind of green manures, which are plants which help you to improve soil fertility. So over years you have found the plants which somehow are most suitable in our conditions, and our conditions are pretty different from here in Oroville.
You use some permaculture technology, biodynamics?
Over years, you read all these techniques. You have permaculture from Bill Mallison. You have Rudolf Steiner with biodynamics. You have Fukuoka with no-till. All these things you have kind of tried, worked on. And some little parts of it you take along and you continue. And in the end, it will be your own agriculture, which you could call an Annapurna system. I mean, every organic farm has to find its own system. There's nothing like pick it from the book and you copy it. It doesn't work. Growing up, we are getting more professional, whatever that means, but more efficient. We are learning and our production is increasing, and it will increase more in the years to come.
How many acres do you have?
135. We are far from being sustainable. It's more like an aim. You kind of put it somewhere and you try to work towards it, and you will never reach it fully because it's very difficult to become actually really sustainable. Also, you try to work towards that thing, but there are different pressures. There's economic pressure, which of course you have to see as a number one, because if the economics don't match, your farm will not be there. So the economics have to somehow be put in the forefront. And then with that, you try to kind of work on sustainability, and wherever you can manage, you pull it in. And like we did, let's say, with this water harvesting, which is quite a success. There we got funds from outside to dig big ponds. We catch rainwater, good amount, and with that we can put 10-15 acres of paddy every year, and it's basically rainwater fed, which is really very interesting. And this is a model which, okay, can be done exactly of only on our land, in fact, because we have this heavy clay soil where the water stays. So if you make a hole, You don't have to make a whole lining or something to seal it. Up to now we have been on solar only. We were solar, we have a biogas digester for boiling the cheese. But again, since we were expanding and we have to kind of increase production, we get now TNB grid into the farm, which we have been keeping off for a long time with this idea that we wouldn't want it. But now again, somehow you have to make a compromise. If we want to kind of mill all these tons of rice, mill all these grains, we can't do it anymore on just on alternative technology, unless there would be an incredible big input of people and resources to make that happen, which doesn't happen at the moment. So we have to be much more realistic and just go on the, you can say, unsustainable electricity grid. Which is somehow a bit sad. On the other hand, it's also maybe realistic. I mean, somehow you have your ideals in your head, which is nice and it's important. On the other hand, the reality shows you something else and you have to be able to adjust. And if you don't, then your ideals are going to block the reality. And that is not the idea, because then you would get a farmer with high ideals but no food production, because if you do it only on the real kind of, let's say, sustainable way, whatever that means, you would have only maybe a quarter of the production, which is okay, it's doable, but it's not what Orville needs. Orville needs food. So it's continuously this kind of balancing out between ideals, between reality, between economics. It's life. Yeah. That's how it is.
And you sell all the production to Orville?
Yeah, you could say 99% goes to Orville. We have a few small outlets in Pondy. Some nature shops, some healthcare shops, where they basically want a few of our millets. But for the rest, it's all Orville. Yeah.
And you know, in terms of general food consumed here, which is the percentage that is organic in Orville?
Still very small, yeah. Because especially in the vegetable part, we can't grow a lot of the crops which Orville wants to consume. People are still very much in love with their carrots, potatoes, salads throughout the year, tomatoes, which is all fine, but we can't grow that here. So unless we would make a farm, which we have been talking about, to buy land in Kodaikanaal and to kind of make a farm there, and that we grow our own carrots, potatoes,
right,
tomatoes, because it's cooler there. Here you can grow only those crops, some of them, not even all potatoes you can never grow, but some of these crops you can grow here only in a very short winter months, January, between January and March, and that's it. So the rest of the year you are limited to South Indian vegetables, which a lot of people are not fond of, which is lady fingers, cluster bean, cucumber, different gourds. That would be the best way if people actually would start eating the locally grown seasonal crops. But this is something, it's just an ideal again, it's not a reality, so better don't dream about it, because it's of no use, because people want something else, clear enough. People want to eat other food, which is fine, and then we as farmers have to kind of adjust to that, because if we stick to the South Indian kind of dish, I'm afraid we will get stuck with our veggies. That's how it is. If you come in to produce with 10 kilo of a certain vegetable, you won't sell them. Simple as that. So you can go home and count your loss. Yeah, Orville farming still has a long way to go, and it has to do with different factors. Generally, people all over the world, including Orville, have not real great interest in farming. Farming is somehow seen as something almost inferior. I mean, that's maybe the wrong word. People do appreciate organic produce in Orville, but there are very few people who actually want to work for it.
Do the best that you can, and what happens will be for the best, and that is all. The Mother.
Towards sustainability.